Okay, I'm going to pray. Father, we need to hear from you like we pray most Sundays, God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me, God, this morning. But God, it's not just for me, it's for all of us. And Lord, I'm counting on you to give it life now, Lord. Give it life. In the name of Jesus, amen. What's the date today? December 8th, okay? Hope I don't get in trouble. I'm going to be a little bit honest with you at the beginning here. I'm not a big Christmas guy, you know? Like everybody's, it's the most wonderful time of the year. I'm not going to knock it because, you know, I mean, man, if I hear Michael Bublé one more time in a mall, I'm just going to like, ugh. It's like every December 1st, he crawls out of his rock. There he is. Oh, John, you shouldn't talk like that. He's just so wonderful. Yeah. And it gets so busy, doesn't it? You know? The best thing about Christmas is family comes home, you know? And we got a family picture. Ask Heather to see it. I think she's got it on her phone. We got a family picture of all the kids, the grandkids, around in the living room, and it's a super chaotic picture. They're all looking in different directions. The grandkids are making faces, and it is so our family. It's perfect. It is the most unposed, crazy picture. And I look at that, and I go, okay, I will put up with all the nonsense just for what I see in that picture there. And people spend money. Oh, my goodness. And you can hardly resist because you really love people, don't you? You want to give. And in North America, at least, we give so much we end up feeling guilty about it after. I don't think that's a bad feeling, okay? So, and we're right at the peak of it right now. It kind of slows down the closer you get to the 24th, 25th, because you're getting right into it and you're kind of people say, and you're enjoying the benefits of it, family. But the prep and leading up, oh man, you're on the phone, you're doing shopping, you're going to the post office, you're going to Amazon like you've never been in them before. And it's like, it's crazy, okay? And, I thought, yeah, this just might work. This might just help some of us here. Are you burnt out or are you lit up? Okay? You burnt out or you lit up? And from the looks of it, we're looking at this room. Oh, I know what category I belong to, boy. The lit up ones are still out there having fun and doing coffee out there. Maybe they don't need this as much as the rest of us, huh? A healthy church, and I get this from the book of Acts, and I have been part of some healthy churches, and it hasn't been all bad, you know. A healthy church usually is a beehive of activity. There's stuff going on all the time, okay? You almost got to keep up with all the stuff that's going on. And you have two types of people in healthy churches. You have people who are burnt out and can't keep up and looking for excuses to hide, okay? And then you have people who are lit up, and it doesn't matter. They are there for every activity, you know, 10 minutes before the doors open. Flagels. Okay? I mean, they lit up. Excited. Always. Great attitude. Always. Lit up, you know? And we love God, okay? We love God. And love is not passive, okay? Love is active. Okay, it's not apathetic. So there's a perfect example, okay? It's passionate, okay? It acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, intentions. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, agreements. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, approval. Matthew, Luke, John, teachings, ideas. Matthew, Luke, John, commandments. No, it's Acts, isn't it? They did stuff. Okay? I think the theme of the apostles, they got it from Home Depot, or Home Depot got it from the apostles. You know, do stuff. You know? And that was Radio Shack. Do stuff was Radio Shack. Probably one of the best lines is from Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Would we get sued if we stole that and put that on our, like, our info sheets or like our website, you know? Christ Church, you can do it. We can help, you know? We're teaching people, you know, you can do it. We can help. It's not bad. And when you're doing stuff and you're motivated and you're passionate and you love it, you do get tired, but it's a good tired, you know? Like, I usually play hockey Friday. When I come home, I'm dead. I can hardly move, you know? But it's a good tired, you know? Now, if I've had to do something that I got roped into, like, I know a number of friends who have trucks, and you've seen the bumper sticker. Yes, it's my truck. No, I won't help you move, okay? And, cause people, hey, you got a truck? Yeah. Oh, cause I got a, yeah, okay. You know, you could spend all day doing stuff that's not as much activity to me, for instance, as playing hockey, and I'm tired, and it's not a good tired. You know. A Christian, somebody who follows Christ, I don't like that term Christian, because man, you don't know what you're getting when you hear that term. A passionate follower of Christ is in need of constant renewal. Okay, we are human. We are in need of constant renewal. We're in constant need of refreshing. We're in constant need of regeneration. Revival, reloading, refilling, returning to our first love. A marriage needs new renewal. Okay? A marriage needs all that stuff to work. Okay? And Jesus and the Ephesians 5 shows the similarities between the relationship a husband and wife has and compares it to our relationship with Christ. Both need renewal. Why? Because the gospel is not effective? No, because we have fleshes that are weak and we have an enemy that's trying to destroy us at the same time. And those facts that are in place, the only cure, it forces us to know our God and be in relationship with Him. It's like He's a father who kind of tricks us. Ah, I know how I'm going to get love out of them. I know how them and me are going to have a great time. I let the devil do his thing and I know how weak they are so that they'll be in relationship with me. It's not so that you'll be perfect. It's so that He'll know the love of you loving Him and Him loving you. That's how much He loves us. Okay? It's a reason for us to call on Him. Now, I mentioned the book of Ephesus. Okay? The church in Ephesus, and we've just gone through about a year studying the Ephesians. Okay? The letter that was written to Ephesus. And when that letter was written by Paul, okay, Ephesus was a center of idolatry. The temple of Diana was there. There was spiritual warfare going on in that place like you wouldn't believe. So that means there's the demonic taking place. And Paul, especially in Ephesians 6, we did it in the last month or so. You know, he talks about how we can win in that warfare. And they did well. Ephesus did well. That was a strong, powerful church. 25 years later, Jesus comes back to Ephesus through the prophet John and has a specific message for that same church. It's in Revelation 2:4. It's not on the screen, but if you want to look up the details, I don't have time to get into details. The basic message of it is, you have drifted away. You have lost your first love. You were hot at one time. You were really, you know, doing well, but you've drifted away. Come back to your first love. They had gotten burnt out, and he wanted to light them up again, okay? If you don't take time and effort to rekindle your relationship with the Lord, it can fade away and die. If you don't take time to rekindle a marriage, it'll die. Guys, Costco, 24 roses, 20 bucks, I'm telling you, man. I have accessed that source so many times, and our wives do not care how much we pay, okay? And, okay, Carol, yeah, there are some exceptions, and you guys can deal with that, okay? Typically, okay? They don't care, okay? Every time, I'm just saying what works for me, every time I bring home, Heather goes, it's awesome. It's worth it, you know? It's a little thing, if you can afford it, okay? And if that's not your thing, believe me, there are little ways that you can light up a marriage. I'm saying it to guys because that's my perspective. And it's worth it. You know it's worth it. It's the same with our relationship with the Lord. rekindling the fire of our first love for Christ. Remember that first time you came to Christ? You thought you had the world by the tail. You thought it was the greatest thing in the world. It's like you could see. It's like, oh man, wow. You know? It was fantastic. But it'll soon die without action. That's why we got churches. None of them are perfect. Especially this one. You know? But we know how much we need each other, so we show up. We know that he did not want us doing this alone. Okay? Well, I'm kind of shy. Great. You can hang out with the shy people then. You know, like, we need each other. If you keep rekindling, if you're vigilant with it, it becomes, now listen, if you do the maintenance stuff, if you do rekindle, if you are aware of your need of rekindling and renewal, it has a tendency to self-perpetuate. The effort to rekindle, the effort to reload, to refuel, to revive, it gets less as you grow in Jesus. And not only is it possible that you can get good at it, you can be a source of rekindling and revival to other people who desperately need your love, your friendship, your words, your time. Okay? You find yourself being lit up as opposed to burnt out. Lit up as opposed to burnt out. So let's talk about the two. Burnt out. I don't think there's anybody here that can't relate to this in some way. Burnt out. Tired. Spent. Given it your all. No more left. Wasted. Sometimes laziness, okay? I said sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes laziness and lack of faith can masquerade very well as burnout. Burnout is, you're tired for a reason. You can label it. You're tired. And sometimes we play these head games of the difference between lazy and burnt out, and it's difficult to tell. And I told somebody here, I'm going to talk about this morning, and I forget, maybe it was Rich, and I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to communicate this very well. But I think it's very a good thing for us to bring this into our relationship with the Lord. God, am I lazy or am I burnt out? Because if I'm burnt out for a good reason, that's not necessarily bad, okay? Because there's the possibility of renewal. If it's lazy, you can't renew lazy. Usually lazy is a choice. Burnt out. Let up. It looks like you, Asufu. I know, when I hear let up, I think of you all the time, because he's a good example of it. He really is, okay? Busy. Ball of energy. Ready, willing, able, but more. Active. Not just ready and able, but active. Okay? So, what are we? Are we burnt out or are we lazy? Most people who feel burnt out have lost their passion somewhere. Okay? They've lost it. And they don't like the feeling. You know? Ever seen a couple in love? They find time. They find energy for each other. I've told this story before. You might have heard it. If not, you know, forgive me. I'm getting old. This is a kid in the 40s, and 1940s, and comes home from school, and he's really tired. Then he gets the idea, you know, like, I don't know, I just want to, got a hammock out in the front porch, and he's kind of laying there. And his mom says, you got to cut the lawn. I'm too tired to cut the lawn, Mom. But it's the 40s. One of them push mowers, you know, like, Lee Valley still sells them for the green people, you know, and no gas, no nothing. But I remember my parents had one of those when I was a kid. Oh man, they're a beast to push. And I had no idea of lubrication or anything or how to make it work better. But that thing was just murder to push. You got to cut the lawn. No. You got to cut the lawn. No. And this goes on for a half hour, you know. Wait till your father gets away. Well, I'll talk to him about it because I guess he thinks he can con his dad better, which is crazy, but. And this, he's about 14, 15, and this cute girl that he's sweet on from school comes by on her bike in a cute little tennis outfit and a tennis racket and says, hey, you want to come play tennis? He says, give me 20 minutes. I got to cut the lawn, then we'll go. Okay? He's motivated. Motivated. You know, where'd the tiredness go? You ever seen a, like, a couple that's, you got two professionals, let's say they're both in their late 20s, and, you know, they got busy schedules and important jobs and, you know, like 60 hours a week and everything. They find each other and fall in love. Oh man, where's the time come from for them to spend it with each other? It just comes, appears from out of nowhere. Because we give time to what we really, 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 really want to do. What is high priority, okay? And when you're in love, priorities change. Oh, do they change? You make a way. You find a way. Why? I'm in love. You know? Love conquers all. So when we say, well, I haven't got time, got time, got time, that may be true, but usually the answer when you bring that into our relationship with the Lord is, I want you to know that you can be more in love with Jesus than you could ever hope to be in love with your spouse. Doesn't that sound crazy? It's true. With all of the benefits and the effects, where he just captures your heart and you get, man, I gotta do this. I gotta be this for Jesus. Okay? That's the lit up I'm talking about. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing what you can get accomplished when you're passionate about it. Okay? And he can renew passion. God, John sounds weird today. I don't know what he's talking about. Well, then trust me, bring this to Jesus and say, God, is that true? If that's true, please, in my life, please. Please, I need that. Because you know what? He speaks your language better than I do. Okay? My job is just to maybe ignite some stuff here and get you. The best thing that can happen from a message is we go home and we want to spend more time in the Word. We want to spend more time with Jesus. Okay? Because we know something's there. You know? John's not the greatest preacher in the world, but there is something there that I need to tap into. Okay? Hebrews 6:12. I got Alex and Nicholas with this about 6 weeks ago, okay? So they're experts in this already. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those through faith. I mean, experts at you know, doing what you're supposed to do here, not experts in laziness there. Anyway, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We are royalty, spiritual royalty. And he has an inheritance for us. There's all kinds of things and events. And if the things that he has for us were to be recounted, the psalmist says, they'd be too wonderful for me. It'd be too mind-blowing. Okay? But laziness can rob us of that. Or giving into my flesh that is weak and the devil who knows my flesh is weak and his believable lies. Nah, that's not worth it. You know, and they're always believable, aren't they? Always. Always. So that's why I preached that sermon, because I knew weeks later we'd be referring back to it. Okay? Still lies though. It robs us of what's been promised. There's a few others here. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Oh, I like what I got. Oh yeah? It's going to be even better if you work on it. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I always use the example of Wayne Gretzky here. I mean, talent like you wouldn't believe. But that guy was always the first guy to get on the ice for practice and the last guy to leave. His dad was a drill sergeant. Even at the age of 3, 4, 5, and 6, that guy did drills with him, because his dad knew it's not enough to be talented. Okay? You gotta have a work ethic that, you know, to beat the band. And because of Jesus, we can do all things. But our Heavenly Father knows, I want what's best for you, not just better, not just enough to get by. I know what you're capable of. If you can become the man of God, I want you to be. If you can become the woman of God, I want you to be. Okay? Spiritual laziness. Listen, spiritual laziness is, you gotta get this, spiritual laziness is obsessively afraid of burnout. I know, because I play those mind games more than anybody. I'm a pastor, you know?
Oh, how do you do so much? Oh, I know, it's really hard.
Oh yeah, give me more of that, because that feeds my laziness, you know? Now God gave me Heather, okay, that's just not gonna go in our home. And you talk about two people made for each other. My goodness. Well, I know don't wanna push it too hard, because I know what you're thinking. You know, there's gotta be sin in Heather's life. Otherwise, why would God put her with that loser? You know what I mean? Come on, I know. I get that, okay? I get that. Take it from somebody who knows what burnout is, okay? Oh, I don't want to burn out. Now I'm speaking for myself, not you. My laziness uses that line all the time. That's me. I'm not saying that's you, but I know you can play those head games. I play those head games. Oh, I don't want to burn out. That's a good masquerade for laziness. Okay? I'm not saying all our burnout is laziness, but some of us are just born con artists. Okay? And I bring up Heather, I'm joking around, but it's a great thing to be close to people that really love you and care for you to call you on account on things like that. Really good. Okay? And we'll get to the solutions in a few minutes here. I think, now, having said that, being burnt out is better than rusting out. You got that? If you're going to go either way, if you're going to be extreme, better to burn out than to rust out. Okay? Really. Huh? No, Russ never sleeps. Good. I appreciate that. Look at the way they're cuddling here. Isn't that an inspiration there? I just love it, man. Oh, man. No. You guys got a license, man. It's awesome. Way to go, you know? If you were teeny boppers, I'd be like one of those preachers we watch on TV. Hey, what are you doing here? Anyway. That's good. I love that. That's good. Okay? There's a very interesting principle tucked away in Ezekiel. Crazy, eh? This is why you need to read the whole Bible. Because every once in a while, when you're going through all this crazy stuff in the Old Testament, one of these verses is going to leap out, okay? Better to burn out than to rust out. But then again, we balance it with Scripture, don't we? Here it comes. Linen turbans. This talk about the priests that minister in the Holy of Holies. Linen turbans shall be on their heads, and linen undergarments. This is one of these verses when you're 10 years old and you're going through the Bible during a morning service and you're sitting with your friends and you're looking for, hey, there's underwear in the Bible. Look at that. You know, you make all these jokes. Anyway, that's part of my childhood. You didn't need to hear about that. Linen turbans shall be on their heads and linen undergarments, fruit of the looms, okay, Stanfields, whatever. Linen undergarments shall be on their loins. They shall not, they shall not gird themselves with anything that makes them sweat. Deodorant is of the Lord, okay? But you get the spiritual principle here. I don't want you bringing your sweat of the flesh into the Holy of Holies. If you're doing the work of God, and if you're motivated and passionate, I need to know it's passion that comes from God and not from your own effort. The analogy is we try to, you know, work for our salvation. That's it says work out your salvation, not work for it. We work out. We keep the muscles flexible, spiritual muscles. We practice generosity and forgiveness and love and, you know, reaching down and faithfulness. Not to earn it, but to so those muscles are active. And we're good at it, you know? Didn't want anything to make them sweat. I got a whole message I preach on this. It's called No Sweat in the Kingdom. God didn't want his priests wearing anything to make them sweat. If you're not fueled by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be working in the flesh and you're going to sweat. I've had a principle for years. If you're doing ministry or service in this church here and you don't like it, don't come. That's not a judgment call. I don't want anybody doing stuff for Jesus that isn't having fun. Because if you're not having fun, it's a job. Oh, we got to show up for the church. Oh, let the ministry die. Because somebody who's doing ministry, if they're not fueled by the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, the people that are the benefits of that ministry, they can see right through it. It's a job to you. You know what the greatest examples of that is? And I won't mention any of the ministries. The people we minister to during the week, they tell us how much they love us at OAM and how much they love us. And then they start talking about the other ministries that they frequent and the other ministries that get they serve by. And they say, we're just a number there. They yell at us. They tell us to get out of line. They're just rude. We could tell that you guys really love us. Now, I have heard that from people that I've known for about 6 months to a year now. You know, they're not lying to me. We have a good relationship. People don't open up like that until they know that they can trust you. Okay? Gotta be fueled by the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you get that? I'm getting there. Come on. Okay? It's not God's way to be working in the flesh and sweating and... He's a shepherd who leads the sheep. He's not the rancher who drives the cattle. Yeah, you know. No, come sheep, let's go. You know. Oh, you need a little prodding, don't you? Okay. Come on. They usually need just one tap. They're gone. You work with cattle? You've never heard? Well, maybe there is a sheep prod. I don't know, but there's a cattle prod. You ever been stuck? Put your hand up if you ever been stuck with a cattle prod. Okay, have you? Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? I've been stuck with a cattle prod. Okay? The guy who is now the assistant general superintendent of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, okay, my godfather's son, like a cousin to me, snuck up behind me when I was about 12 years old and got me with a cattle prod. I literally jumped 3-4 feet off the ground. I mean, it is like, oh my goodness, man. Well, it's like being tased. It's the same thing as being tased, okay? That's cattle. We're not cattle, sheep, okay? He's the good shepherd. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And when that yoke is accepted, okay, when his yoke is accepted, and nothing more than his yoke, you know, because sometimes people accept false expectations. They accept unbiblical principles of service. They accept tradition, okay? But when it's the yoke of Jesus, when it's accepted willingly, we become lit up. It's not the yoke comes on and we go, oh man. No, it's light and easy. The yoke comes on and we go, whoa, never had a yoke like this. Let's go, baby. Okay? To live is Christ. To die is gain. Wow. Boy, I would think if that's true, there's got to be something supernatural going on living in Christ where you're not even care about death, man. There needs to be some expression there. To live is Christ. Yeah. To die is gain. Because I know the finish is going to be awesome. I heard one old guy say once, he was like 75, 80 years old. He's a bunch of guys talking about how they want to die. And one guy says, well, all I know is I want to leave skid marks. you got to hear this. Okay. Rich and I were talking about this. He knows what I'm going to talk about here. There's a fantastic documentary on Netflix right now about Carroll Shelby. Carroll Shelby is the guy that created the AC Cobra, the Shelby Mustang, legendary race car driver, legendary auto entrepreneur. Okay. Guy lived to be 85 years old, good friends with Henry Ford II, Lee Iacocca, quite a character, riveting. Okay. One of the most inspirational movies I've seen in a long time. This is the most inspirational scene. The last 30 seconds. How many know what an AC Cobra is, a Shelby Cobra? One of the fastest cars North America ever produced, okay? The last scene, this is awesome. Carroll Shelby is 85 years old and he's in an AC Cobra doing donuts in a parking lot, man. I thought that is so fun, fantastic, man. 85, and I mean, he's doing things that I wouldn't dare, you know? Man, love that. To live is Christ, to die is gain. He expects us to be living sacrifices. That's not what Romans 12:1 says. But he says, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Whoa, come on. That's a tall order. Not if you're fueled by the Holy Spirit. It makes sense. If you're fueled by the Holy Spirit, it's kind of like, get her done, you know? Mark 8:33-34, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. You don't have the Holy Spirit, that does not make sense to you. If you don't have a live relationship with the Lord, you read that and go, what is this, kind of religious asceticism? We're going to whip my body? That's crazy. That's cultic. But when you love Jesus, well, let's kind of, maybe I can make this come alive. Okay? If you really got a good marriage and you're in love with your spouse, you know, deny yourself and you know, make it work with your spouse. Well, you're motivated to do that there, aren't you? Because you've seen the fruits of it. You've seen what it produces. It's a good thing. This is real. This stuff here, this is real Holy Spirit fueled, living, active faith here. Okay? And there's not enough people who say they're following Christ that are walking in this. Not enough. That's why the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. And if you think you can do this without the Holy Spirit, especially within church life, especially within a religious context, if you think you can do this without the Holy Spirit, you're going to know burnout real quick. Real quick. And there's probably some people here that are genuinely burnt out. You know? How can you tell? It's not laziness, but it's still a real problem that needs attention. How can you tell? No, it's hard to. Maybe the Holy Spirit will turn some lights on. You can see see something that's difficult to discern. You need good relationships with other Christians. I've mentioned that. So you can trust their counsel on this. Okay? There are people here that love you. They really do. Listen to fruitful, okay, mature Christians that you know love you and trust them. Trust them. Ephesians, what would be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. I respect Jesus. I believe that this body here, they're not perfect, but they follow Christ. And if God is going to use anybody to help us, it's the person you're sitting with here. Okay? He flows through us to each other. Hebrews 10. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. The original word to stimulate there is spur one another on to good deeds. You know, prod them. Cattle prod again. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some. They're not here today, so I don't have to tell them right now. But encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. I've heard from maybe hundreds. I don't want to exaggerate. I was going to say, yeah, maybe hundreds. Definitely dozens. But maybe hundreds who are not in accountable relationships. Okay? If they do go to church, it's as a spectator. Okay? That's not going to help. You know, it may cool your conscience for a week or two, but we need each other. In the book of Acts, no one had need of anything because they were in constant material, spiritual, emotional, practical sharing all the time. Nobody had need of anything. Because there's a constant sharing going on. So, let's get practical, hopefully here. How do I get lit up? How do I get lit up? Not that kind of lit up. How do I get lit up? Okay? Number one, and you know what's coming because it's the same every sermon. But somehow, John Counsel has got to do a better job with this. And every time he gives into it, he's better for it. Okay? I'm a slower learner than any of you. Okay? So you know what's at the top of the list. Christ-based relationships. It wasn't just prayer, was it? No, Christ-based relationships. What does that mean? If you are in a relationship with somebody well enough that you can, at the drop of a hat, have a word of prayer with them, that's what I'm talking about right there. Not everybody we know, we can say, hey, can we pray about this? But you need those kind of relationships where you could just, okay, let's pray about this right now. That's the measuring stick. How well do we know each other that can we pray about this? Well, why pray? I don't know. That's why I gotta pray. I don't have the answers. You know, what are you gonna pray? I don't know. That's what I gotta pray. But I don't know what to do. Pray. Okay? Christ-based relationships. And you can tell they're Christ-based when you can pray at the drop of a hat there, okay? Number two, here it comes. Make time for the word. Make time for the word. Ah, John, the word is so boring. I got a confession here. I got a confession. Trying to estimate now. My kids tell me, Dad, you're always pulling stats out that you can't prove. So this is a really subjective stat here, okay? 75 to 80% of the time I go to the Word and I come away, I'm as bored as anything. I don't get nothing out of it. You're a pastor. I can't tell you what I had for breakfast last week either. But I knew I needed to eat it or well, it probably would have had problems, you know? I can't tell you what I had. I can tell you what I had Friday because we had pasta. I always love pasta. But most of the meals I can't remember, okay? I need to be in the Word. It's not for me. It's for Him. I need it. Okay? And fortunately, that 50 to 20% when I walk away from the Word and I go, wow. You know, it happens enough to keep me going. But I need to be in the Word. I need to be in the Word. I don't know why, but He wants us in the Word. And reading all of it too. I got a system where I can handle the boring parts. You know, Leviticus. Dear God, why did you put that in the Bible? Okay? But we go through it. Okay? You got to make time for it. Something's gotta die. We're all busy. And when we're not busy, I want a nap. I don't want to read the Bible. Come on, you know, like, make time for it. I don't have the time. The kid on the porch, girl in the tennis outfit, we got time for what we really want to do. We can always make time for what we really want to do. Okay? Three. How do you get lit up? Start getting really unselfish in your use of time. Now some of you are going, Yeah, I know. You're gonna have to do some discernment here. Man, Rich, you are so led of the Lord. I just love that you're there to, He helps my messages. He does, man. He really does, okay? Start getting really unselfish in the use of your time. There's nothing that will light you up faster than seeing someone come to Christ because of your time and effort. Have you got that? Kirk Tomerlin's not here this morning. You should have seen him when he got to lead somebody to the Lord on a Thursday night, and he led them in a prayer of salvation. Guy's like a kite. And if you don't Kirk, he doesn't get too excited. Here's Kirk when he's really excited. That's about it, you know? But right, Carol, you know, eh? Okay. They don't even have to come to Christ. Just serving people in love will give you a charge. I'm telling you, man. I remember when the last church fell apart and the hell I was going through. I don't even like talking about it. It was the darkest time of my life, you know? It was just like I lost a daughter and I lost my dad, but I knew that they were in heaven and I had that assurance but to go through that was just and the only thing that made sense was I got to get to Capital City Mission. Okay? I got to be with people. I got to help. I don't know if I can help. And I thought just to be with and we had a prayer meeting Tuesday night, okay? And I'm going a little long here. Please forgive me. And I'm going to trust that this is of the Lord. We have our leaders meeting on our leaders and our council and our elders. They meet in prayer every Wednesday night. It's gone on since we started the church. And to a great degree, we believe the Lord leads this church through that prayer meeting. We always pray that he will. It's more important that we hear from him than he hear from us. He directs the church through that Wednesday night prayer meeting. Tuesday night, it's Bible study and prayer because we all got to pray. Even when you're leaving, you know, that's open for everybody and you need to come as often. And we felt God speak to us on Tuesday night. We're still trying to figure out. We're still praying. And I didn't know I was going to do this until like earlier in the, when we believe we got a word from God on Tuesday night. And I was too sick to make it to Wednesday night, but I texted the crowd. I said, look, we got this from God Tuesday night. You guys need to pray into this. And it fits under the heading, start getting really unselfish with years of time. This is a word from Lord we got. Thursday night needs to come to Sunday morning. Thursday night needs to come to Sunday morning. Now, the initial interpretation of that, yeah, well, they need to show up on Sunday morning, be a part of church life and everything. Yeah, I get that, okay, but Thursday night needs to come to Sunday morning, not just people, but the spirit of what goes on there, the fellowship, the moving of the Holy Spirit in a very unique way. Thursday night needs to come to Sunday morning. And at the same time, it wasn't just that. It was Sunday morning needs to come to Thursday night. Okay? Well, they need our help, don't they? They need it. No, you need to be influenced by them. God will do more in you on Thursday night, if you're just showing up and being with people, then anything you could give them. They're not stupid. They're smart. They got it together, okay? They can spot a phony a mile away. They got spiritual sensitivities, okay? But you want to get your life enriched, man. You start being with the people Jesus told you to hang out with. I'm telling you. And maybe that's the, and we've been praying for months now. God, show us what to do on Thursday night. Show us what to do on Thursday night. And Ken, I don't want to put you on a spot or anything, but to me, that might be the clearest direction that we've gotten in the last year. Okay? I'm not telling you to show up. We don't need your help. In fact, you're probably going to get in the way, but you need to be there. Ashley goes, yes! Okay? You need to be there for your own spiritual undergirding and benefit. Okay? Crazy as it sounds, you could end up leading somebody to Jesus. How did that happen? You showed up. Can't happen if you don't show up. I got no training. That's not necessary. Just show up. Let the Lord do what I'm yelling, sorry. Let the Lord do what he wants to do. Why am I saying this? This is a step to getting lit up. I'm trying to light you up. The best sermon, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be falsely humble or anything. The best sermon I could ever preach will do nothing compared to what could happen to you on a Thursday night where you're in a place where, lo and behold, God just might do something through you. Okay? Thursday night needs to come here. Sunday needs to be at Thursday or Tuesday night. Okay? Happens there too. Christ-based, okay. Number four, how to get lit up. How's your worship life? Yeah, we need better worship in this church. Oh, shut up. Come on. I'm not talking about singing. I know it's a part of it. And you know what? Dan, you blessed me. I know you were learning choruses, but he pulled up in his car and I could hear him worship music coming out of his car. That does something to you. There are some people that can't experience the presence of God unless they got worship music on. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. I'm a big secular music guy, okay? And there's a lot of times when I have to turn it off and I've got to, you know, just be alone with God. And I can worship God. It's fantastic. I didn't say your prayer life. I didn't see your life in the world. How's your worship life? Don't be crippled by the poison of unthankfulness. Ooh, man, you want a recipe for skepticism and cynicism and coldness and burnout, okay? Don't let the poison of unthankfulness cripple you. Get a good grip on God's goodness and grace and take time to thank Him often. That crazy Carol Shelby movie at the end, you know, it does the, just before the scene with the donuts, he's 85 years old. So what do you want it said of you? And he said one thing, and then he said, the last thing he said was, I wanted them to know that I was a guy that was really thankful for all his opportunities. And I would suggest, I don't know, I don't think he knew the Lord at all, but boy, that's an incredible lesson to learn. That's why the guy was so lit up, everybody wanted to be around him. If what he's saying is true, that's a key right there, boy. Boy, don't give in to unthankful. How's your worship like? How many times you just get along with God? And I tell you what I do. I have to ask God to forgive me for my unthankfulness. I do that a lot because I got that dark side to me, you know. And boy, that'll light you up. Whether you're burnt out or lazy, the cure is the same. Okay? Make sure you got some Christ-based relationships and good ones, and milk them. Okay? Make time for the Word, your prayer time, your prayer life. Start getting really unselfish in your use of time, okay? I know there's limits. I know the devil will want to burn you out with activity. But here's the thing, okay? And I know some of you rolled your eyes when we got to three. But if you got these two down, the first two, you don't have to worry about getting out of balance there. If you've got Christ-based relationships, they will help you with this. And so will the Word. He is the good shepherd. He's not the cattle rancher, okay? And your worship life. Shut your eyes. God. Lord, most of them are going to forget this. Forget 95% of it by tonight, God. But Lord, your Holy Spirit can take something here and change their life with it. One line, one concept, maybe one conversation in this room before we leave, God. God, I'm asking you to release those things. God, we don't want to be burnt out. And God, I just thank you so much, God, because really in the positive sense, I've never seen such a lit up congregation, God. And I know, God, that a lit up congregation has a big target on its back and the devil wants to burn us out and the devil doesn't like where we're at right now. God, I pray, God, that we would continue to strike fear in him, that he'd be scared to death of us whenever we walk into a room, Lord. God, that he'd know, Lord, that there's trouble, that there's souls about to be set free, that there's light piercing darkness. Not that we're cocky, but God, let us know where our source of strength is, God. Light us up, God. Light us up. Light us up in the name of Jesus. And not just light us up, Lord, but God, make us agents lighting other people up as well. Because it's a fire, God, that spreads. God, don't let us be afraid of the danger, God. Perfect love drives out fear in the name of Jesus. Do your work, God. Do your work. Nobody looking around, okay, please? Nobody looking around. If you don't know Jesus, you want to make it right this morning, okay? You've never asked Christ into your life, ever. If you had done it before, this is not for you. I want Christ in my life. Been around here enough, John, that I know that's the missing ingredient. I want that in my life. And I don't center people out, and I don't embarrass people unless I'm fooling around, and I'm not fooling around right now. This is serious stuff, most serious stuff we do. If that's you, put your hand up real quick, and then right back down again. I'll track you down. We'll pray, okay? I ask that often because it's so important. I'm never discouraged when people don't raise their hand. It's not a sign of failure. It's a sign that, you know, every week we go through the priority of how important it is for people to know Jesus. That's the goal, isn't it? The first goal is this, for people to receive Christ. The next goal is for us to make disciples out of each other and out of the people that we, you know, come in contact with. You want to be lit up? Eyes are closed. You want to be lit up? Who wants to be lit up? Huh? Okay, let me ask this, okay? Nobody's looking around. Not going to center you out. How many would say, man, I need to be lit up, John? I really do. Put your hand up, okay? I need to be lit up. Yeah, that's good. Okay? Okay, those people that put their hand up, and anybody else that wants to, how many of you would tell me here right now, John, I think you're right. I think he can let me up. I think he can let me up. He can. He can do it. You're not saying he's going to, but you're saying he can. Put your hand up if that's you, okay? Faith there, you know? Okay, let's pray together. We're going to close in prayer by praying together, okay? I'm going to pray. You're going to repeat with me. And it's not going to be Simon Says here. You got to make this your prayer. Jesus, you know what you've said to me this morning. Help me to yield to you, please. I don't want to be functioning in the flesh. Light me up, God. I need you to light me up. Flow through me. Take away my fear of surrender to you. Light me up. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.